Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today we're going to talk about Discipleship Day coming up with Eric Gallagher and Chris Bergwald. Interesting conversation. Hope you will stick around for it. You might find out why you should be one of those planning to attend Discipleship Day coming up later this month. Gene Young will have news for us just a bit. First, the readings, though, for this Sunday. Renee Leach with the first and second reading, and Deacon Roger Height with the gospel.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication. With divine recompense, he comes to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf be cleared. Then will the lame leap like a stag, then the tongue of the mute will sing. Streams will burst forth in the desert, and rivers in the steppe. The burning sands will become pools, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. James. My brothers and sisters, show no partiality as you adhere to the faith in the glorious Lord Jesus Christ. For if a man with gold rings and fine clothes comes into your assembly, and a poor person in shabby clothes also comes in, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say, sit here, please, while you say to the poor one, stand there or sit at my feet, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil designs? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Did not God choose those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he promised to those who love him? The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus left Tyrrhenian territory and returned by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, into the district of the Ten Cities. Some people brought him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hand on him. Jesus took him off by himself away from the crowd. He put his fingers into the man's ears and, spitting, touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and emitted a groan. He said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. At once the man's ears were opened. He was freed from the impediment and began to speak plainly. Then he enjoined them strictly not to tell anyone. But the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. Their amazement went beyond all bounds. He has done everything well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. The Gospel of the Lord.
Now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, a mass of healing and seeking forgiveness will be prayed at the Cathedral of St. Joseph on the memorial of Our Lady of Sorrows next Saturday, September 15th at 9 a.m. Bishop Paul J. Swain will preside. Bishop Swain indicated he intended to pray the mass in a recent statement responding to the serious abuse issues in Pennsylvania and the issues surrounding Archbishop Theodore McCarrick. You can read the bishop's full statement on the diocesan website at www.sfcatholic.org. You can also read about the healing mass in the September edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at the diocesan website. During the second day of his Supreme Court confirmation hearings this week before the Senate Judiciary Committee, U.S. Appeals Court Judge Brett Kavanaugh said his experience serving the homeless with Catholic Charities and tutoring at Washington Jesuit Academy has influenced him as a judge because of the importance of standing in the shoes of others. Kavanaugh noted that he regularly serves meals with Catholic Charities St. Maria's Meals program in Washington, D.C., and he said talking to the people whom they serve helps him to understand the situation that they are in. We are all God's children. We are all equal, he said. People have gotten there because maybe they have a mental illness, maybe they've had a terrible family situation, maybe they lost a job and had no family. But every person you serve a meal to is just as good as me or better. Kavanaugh noted Monsignor John Ensler, the president and CEO of Catholic Charities for the Archdiocese of Washington, as an important influence in his life who has helped him to think about others. He has known Monsignor Ensler since Kavanaugh was 9 years old and an altar boy at Little Flower Parish in Bethesda, Maryland. The priest was in the audience at the White House when President Donald Trump announced that Kavanaugh would be the next Supreme Court nominee back in July. As another influence of his volunteering, Judge Kavanaugh cited the Supreme Court situation, and he also cited a Bible passage from Matthew 25 where Jesus said, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Judge Kavanaugh said he tries to follow the lesson of serving the least fortunate among us as outlined in those six examples. In a related story, a letter signed by more than 1,500 Catholic nuns, priests, and other church leaders from around the country addressed to U.S. senators voiced concerns about Judge Brett Kavanaugh, a fellow Catholic, as he faced confirmation hearings on Capitol Hill this week that may result in a seat for him on the U.S. Supreme Court. The concerns of the signers focus on what they say is his past record on health care, immigration, labor rights, voting rights, and the death penalty. The letter tells senators to examine Kavanaugh's concern for the common good. "As Catholics, we believe that any government official, including a Supreme Court justice, must be concerned with the needs of people who are marginalized, not just the rich and powerful, as a member of one's own political party," says the letter circulated by the Catholic Social Justice Lobby Network. The letter expresses worry and asks that what would happen to legislation such as the Affordable Care Act, cases involving immigration issues, voting and labor rights, as well as capital punishment, should Judge Kavanaugh become a justice. "If Colombians truly seek peace, they must give up vengeance and seek reconciliation by forgiving themselves and one another," said a priest who is devoting his life to such a mission. "The main reason for the violence in Colombia isn't drug trafficking, that is, or guerrillas, but the settling of scores and revenge," said Father Leonel Navarez, a Consolata missionary. Father Navarez, a sociologist who has worked in Africa and in Colombia's Amazon region, established the Foundation for Reconciliation in 2003. The organization's Schools of Forgiveness and Reconciliation have expanded now to 18 countries. "What's happening in Colombia is an epidemic of revenge," he said. "And if the main reason for murders is the settling of scores, there's no use in increasing the number of soldiers or police or prisons. Forgiveness and reconciliation were key themes for Pope Francis when he visited Colombia in September of 2017. He met with victims of the decades-long armed conflict that officially ended with the signing of peace accords between the government and the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or FARC, the country's largest guerrilla group, back in November of 2016. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Certainly pray they can find some resolution finally.
Work toward peace, yeah, true peace.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Gene, for the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Eric Gallagher and Chris Bergwald from the Discipleship and Evangelization team. And we're going to talk about, what do you suppose, discipleship with the two of you. Discipleship Day coming up later this month. And so we wanted to give that another shout out and talk a little bit about why folks might really think hard about participating in this year's Discipleship Day. I'm going to give you both a crack at that question or that to provide an answer to that. I hope, as a matter of context, people have had a chance by now to see the last couple of bishops' bulletins where we've really focused on missionary discipleship from a variety of aspects. We're going to talk a little bit more about all of that as well this morning. But first of all, why should they come? Why should people think about this, Eric, in terms of what it can mean to their own faith life?
One of our tagline that we kind of came up with that came from meeting people at Discipleship Day, like we'd kind of see these people pop up that we didn't, "Why'd you come?" We started asking them, and their response was often, I know God wants to do something more in me. And so what do you do? Well, you go to the thing that's in front of you, which at that time was Discipleship Day, which those first couple of years, it was really something. Well, we're starting these new discipleship programs in parishes, so we want all the people who are involved in those to come in and be a part of a day together. And now I think this year's kind of the first. Last year, we kind of started this new direction where we started realizing there's a lot of people who are coming here that maybe don't fit into that box that we have kind of created it for. And we're starting to branch out. And I think, like you said, the Bishop's Bulletin articles kind of begin to open that up as far as what does this mean? And for a lot of people, it's not being directly involved in the big things that the church is doing. But there's this more subtle invitation that they're feeling. So I would say this year, especially our theme is to do your will is my delight. And it's to recognize that prompting. And for anyone in the diocese that seems to have that unsettled prompting in their hearts of wanting more, and just trying to open themselves up to the Lord and say, whatever it is, I'll do it. But for a lot, I know for myself, many times it's just tell me.
Yeah.
I just want to know what it is, Lord.
Could you make it a little bit clearer? Yeah.
I would do anything. Yeah. I just don't know what you want me to do. And so kind of the prayer that comes out of that, to do your will is my delight, but then we still have to wait sometimes.
Yeah. Chris?
Yeah, I very, very much, well, but ditto, Jerry, that's my answer to what Eric said.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I think for me, again, along the same lines, but my own articulation of it, the reality that people are recognizing that just because I'm not involved in my parish's formal religious ed program for K-12 or not involved in RCIA or something else doesn't mean that there's nothing I can do. Mm-hmm. And the reality, again, as was brought out in the articles, that there are ways in our daily lives, whoever we are and whatever we do, there are ways, opportunities that the Lord gives to us, his plan, part of his plan, opportunities for us to do his work. The image that I've come to love the last couple of years is from the parable of the workers in the vineyard, and how the Lord calls, and Jesus used it to show how God, his generosity, but the aspect of it, and St. John Paul II used it to show how the laity are called into the vineyard. Mm-hmm. And we have all got our plot to work. And if we just are attentive to life, daily life, we see the work that the Lord is calling us to do. And it does, this is why I love our theme, doing that oftentimes very simple, quote unquote, ordinary work brings us joy and delight.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we all seek.
And that's what we all seek.
That's what we all seek. We're talking about Discipleship Day coming up September 21st and 22nd. It's at the Sioux Falls Convention Center Friday evening, Saturday through Saturday afternoon. If you're interested in learning more, you can go to the website sfcatholic.org/discipleshipday. And I think it's got the schedule, the registration form, all the stuff is right there. And we'll give that again as we go along here today. I wonder next if both of you could say just a word about whether or not at this particular moment in our church, because of all the things we're experiencing, all the turmoil that's going on, if this isn't a precisely important moment to understand who we are as disciples.
Yeah, it can be incredibly challenging to look at what you know, your perception, like to see things a certain way, to understand things a certain way, and then for that to be shaken to a sense. And even in the most smallest ways, like we said at the parish, with Discipleship Day and the involvement in the parishes, you look around and you say, well, I really do, I want to be more involved in my faith, but that group over there, well, that's not me, or it seems that's just the old people and I'm younger. Like there's all these reasons, or maybe you just don't like it. Is there something for me in this? Like, what is God doing in this? And I think, yeah, in light of where we're at in the church today, is God speaking to us, and there's all this stuff that's happening. And I think the most important thing we can learn to do is to simply listen and wait for him to call us. And when the waves begin to get too heavy and seem to be too much for us and we start to get shaken, then we have to cry out. But we can only do that when we have the faith to know that he's there, that he's listening. And so I think that's in us through our baptism. It's in us. And sometimes we sink pretty far before we do call out. But I think it is important to become a people who do that ordinarily, not just when something happens.
That's a great point. Chris, any other thoughts on that?
I think oftentimes we as lay people, the three of us are all laymen. As lay people, we tend to see ourselves naturally, understandably, as primarily consumers of our faith. You know, our role at Mass or whatever, being taught, et cetera. And there's ways in which that's true. Fundamentally, we receive the faith. But then we are also called to be not only consumers, but creators as well, co-workers in the vineyard, again, to use that. And I think this is an opportunity where, because of everything that's going on in the church, a lot of the faithful are maybe shaken, troubled, but then wondering, what can I do? Mm-hmm. And this is, to me, providential. In that, again, the theme for this year, to do your will is my delight. There are things apart, yes, in the context of the scandals, but even apart from that, there are always things that we can do as lay men and women for God and for his people, the church.
I still think people struggle with the idea that we're talking about them.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about those other people who are called to do something. I think we all, at times, I know I do that myself. It's like, oh, they're talking about religious ed this week. I can tune out because I'm not going to be a teacher. I know I'm not going to be a teacher. It's not my gift. And yet, we're all missionary disciples by virtue of our baptism, right?
And for me, the line that comes to mind when you say that, oftentimes, because that is a common reaction, he must be talking about somebody else. It's used in vocations work, but it applies for this as well. God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. And he has equipped us at our baptism. Yep. Now, yes, we have to give shape to that formation. We've talked about that many times. That's what Discipleship Day in many ways is about. But it's not that I have to be perfect before I can do this. The Lord wants me to work in the vineyard today, now.
So we're saying you can come to this, in a sense, not knowing what that, and you kind of alluded to that, Eric, that we may not know what it is the Lord is calling us to do. We just know we feel something.
Yeah, in fact, even this year we've taken that to the extreme, I think, because the focus of our breakouts are especially important in that they're geared towards really ordinary callings in many ways. And so it goes anywhere from, I have a couple of friends that I would like to, I know I want to grow in my faith with them. What does that look like? So we have breakouts and how simple it can be to just start a prayer group or a Bible study with those three people and whatever that might look like. We have a breakout that's going to be focused on just simply learning to give witness in your workplace. And if you're at work every day and you know it's where you're supposed to be, but you still feel this heaviness and you feel like you could be doing more, is it possible that God could open doors for you to live more freely in that same environment? Mm. And I think that's when we focus on discernment in that sort of path, a lot of times we just come to this resolution really quickly of, well, I'm not happy here, I must have to go somewhere else. And if we really take time to discern, I hope Discipleship Day teaches the ordinary person to simply live with that deep desire and awareness that God wants to fulfill that desire, but not to just jump to a conclusion that we think of what it is. Let him show you what he really wants to do in this. And that can mean bringing you life in the current realities that might not change today or tomorrow.
One of the fun things for me in working on these stories the last couple of months is to see the range of ways that people live missionary discipleship and maybe the depth of it or the almost unawareness of it that a person is actually being a missionary disciple to another. And I think that happens, doesn't it? That we don't sometimes even know it.
I think that, in a sense, that might be the ideal or that's a sign that you're actually much further along than you are. If you're doing it without realizing it, that says that somehow it's about being a disciple yourself, being a missionary disciple is just so much a part of who you are that you've almost been doing it unintentionally. I think for me, what I want to highlight is to name that so that you can see, oh, it's a lot less complicated than I thought it was.
Yeah.
So to make you more confident, A, and then more likely to continue to do it, B.
So language is important here, isn't it? I mean, we maybe haven't used this term long enough, missionary discipleship,
right,
for people to get fully acquainted with it or to fully believe that it does apply to them and that maybe they are actually doing it. But I do think it's language that is consistent with what the Holy Fathers have been calling us to over the last many Holy Fathers, and certainly our own bishop has been calling us to in this diocese.
Yeah, one of the common things I say in trainings or when I talk to people about discipleship, they feel this pressure of, I don't have the time, or I want to give more, or whatever. And it's usually coming from a dad with five kids and a wife, and he's doing everything to raise his family well, but he feels this pressure to be super involved in the parish as well. And I know, and I think it's because people have told me that over and over and over again, is you are forming disciples. Mm-hmm. Like you have four children.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to help the church realize the ordinariness, like, and our conversations so often revolve around the programming and the attractive things that people are talking about. But I'm confident most people can point to some family in their parish that's would be considered a missionary disciple in their mind, but maybe isn't involved in all the big heavy hitting stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, honestly, I think it's a lot of times because they just have a well-ordered, well-disciplined life that they don't feel this pressure to go and be the person who's up front doing different things or in charge of stuff. So it depends. It's a mixture. We need both. We need the people who are offering the bigger things, and we need the people who are just living it ordinarily. But the temptation for those who are doing it ordinarily to just to remain there and to find freedom in that, I think, is vital to where the church is at today.
Yeah, I think you're right, aren't you? I mean, we need both. We can't all be leaders. We can't all be followers. We have to have some of each in order to make this work.
Yeah, and I again, one of the refrains here, it's not necessarily about being involved in your parish programs. I think there's a subtle way in which we get, maybe a technical term, clericalize the laity. I think a lot of people, lay people, feel like if I'm going to be a really, as Eric is just articulating, yep, if I'm a really involved Christian, Catholic, that means I have to be doing something in the parish. Not necessarily. Maybe that is the Lord's will for mm-hmm. you, mm-hmm. but it might be that he wants you to keep doing that he wants you to be that workplace witness that Eric mentioned earlier. Maybe in your home life, maybe you have a roommate, you're a single person with a roommate, that you're bearing witness to your faith that way. That's just as important. In a sense, that is more the role of the laity, according to the church's teachings, actually, than being involved in all those parish ministries. Good, necessary, absolutely vital, but don't feel like you're second class if you're not doing those things.
And the point being, again, there's really something for everybody here. I yep. mean, whatever your calling is, and even if you haven't defined that calling, again, Discipleship Day may help you to figure out what that calling is.
Yeah, I think one of the, and people will, if people just simply do that ordinarily, simply respond in discipleship ordinarily, then stuff happens. Like, and it would be great if our programs actually always flowed from that small little like invitation into discipleship, rather than there's a big problem, our youth aren't engaged, let's start a big youth group. Like, okay, well, that's a big leap. But could it be something that starts very organically? And I think we could point to many things around the diocese where someone did take a small step in faith and the Lord just blessed it abundantly. And then they look up and they realize they're leading something that they never really asked for and never even wished for. They're just following Christ. And that's, I think, when we look at the bigger picture stuff, I would hope that we would remain centered around that idea as well, as I'm just simply following the Lord and he continues to bless it abundantly.
Chris, I know you and I have talked about this in other contexts, but the sense of discernment, the sense of, and you used the word vocation before, that, you know, terms we use within the vocation. And yet, isn't that true for all of us, that we have to do that discernment ourselves? Where is the Lord leading me?
Right.
This is a kind of really fundamental work of a Christian.
Yep. And that's where, I don't know if you've heard the phrase analysis paralysis. I mean, if I just look at all the possible things I could do on a daily basis, let alone over the course of a year or something, I could be paralyzed because there's too many options. That's where, if I'm attentive to what God wants me to do today and just follow that, that will bear fruit. And I think even just saying that, there's a part of us like, oh, come on. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, part of me says that, but no. That's Eric was speaking to the same thing. If I'm simply attentive to what God is asking me to do today, do I trust that that will bear fruit? Because that's what he says it will do. If you remain in me, you will bear fruit that will abide, that will remain.
Yeah. I love your theme this year, guys, that to do your will is my delight, and the delight word we talked about a little bit, but I have to say, in writing these stories, the thing that really struck me about each of the people that I was working with is that sense of joy that they all have, and joy. I didn't say happiness, I said joy, because I think there's a distinction there, because of what they're doing, because of the things that they're involved with, or because of the small ways that they're living out the life of a missionary disciple. And again, that's what we all want, isn't it? That's what we're all seeking, I think, deep down.
Yeah, I think that was the beauty of the bulletin article that you wrote up, was people could point to things and say, God is there, which is my delight. Like, my delight is in simply being with God. And so I do these things because in them I find the face of Christ. And I think we can all give stories, examples of being involved and seeing parishes and people within the church that are doing things and they're not full of joy. And you really question it. Well, why are you doing this? Mm-hmm. And yes, we'll have our ups and downs. We'll have good days, bad days. But is being a catechist in your parish bringing you life? If not, it should, or you shouldn't be doing it. And again, it's not to jump from one thing into a resolution, just quit, throw your arms up in the air. But really to place that in front of the Lord and say, Lord, if you're in this, show me where your face is in this. And that's the stuff that really begins to open doors and parishes and where that joy becomes so authentic that it begins to envelop the life of a parish and people get drawn into it. But a lot of times we have to really sit in that and wrestle with that to truly discern and find God in these different situations.
Probably the last question we'll have time for, Chris, before we do a little wrap up. But how important is this in light of where we're at in terms of the nuns, the people who aren't practicing their faith anymore? Obviously, to have these witnesses that we show in the bulletin is fantastic. But we know that a lot of people aren't practicing.
Right.
And how important is it that Discipleship Day to help us kind of reconnect, maybe?
Because it is through... It's how else are the nuns going to be reached than through the people who they know? Evangelization in the life of the church has always happened most effectively through relationships. The nuns are not going to be picking up the bishop's bulletin. The nuns are not going to be coming to Discipleship Day. But you, the person who is coming to Discipleship Day, are the means by which the nuns will hear about Jesus Christ.
And just to be clear, it's N-O-N-E-S, in case people are mishearing us this morning.
Yeah, those who are religiously unaffiliated, fallen away, maybe never really practicing their faith at all. How do we reach them? Through ordinary Catholics.
Yeah. All right. One last pitch. Come to Discipleship Day. You can find out again more about it at sfcatholic.org/discipleshipday, September 21st and 22nd, Friday night, Saturday afternoon. We didn't even talk about the speakers. Really, really good
Great speakers
and breakout leaders as well. So trust us on that. Check it out on the website. Hope you can come to Discipleship Day. Eric and Chris, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Gene, really helpful for me to hear Chris and Eric talk about Discipleship Day the way they did in terms of how really this applies to each and every one of us.
Exactly.
We are all disciples, whether we know it or not. We can all live it, whether we know it or not. And today, I think the day was going to be a great opportunity to learn that. A couple of speakers that we didn't get a chance to talk about. Nick Davidson is coming in. He's one of the keynote speakers. And Father Scott Traynor, our own Father Scott Traynor, also will be speaking ad during these days.
It's a great opportunity. So if you haven't made your plans yet, you should make them now.
I like their ad that they've been running in the Bishop's Bulletin too, because they talk about who's it for? It's for those desiring to find freedom and total surrender to God, who are interested in growing their faith or who want to share their faith with others. I think that's all of us.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
So anyway, I hope people take advantage of it. sfcatholic.org, and you can get your registration right from there. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. We'll be back with you next Sunday.